Luke chapter 1 tonight for a few minutes. Gospel. Luke chapter 1 and begin reading in verse number 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. It says, "In the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." End off reading there, and I'm interested really in verse number 32 would be kind of my, or really I guess the last two verses there, verse 32 and verse 33, and really mainly the statement there. He says, "He shall be great." And I want to just kind of give you a few thoughts tonight on this thought, if I was to title the message, on the thought of the person of Christ. The person of Christ. That really is what the Christmas season is all about. That's what we're celebrating. And that's really, you know, what this time of the year is set aside for, is to celebrate the birth of the person of Christ. And what we have here in this passage from verse 26 on down to the end of our reading, we'll find that we have a discourse here, a conversation between the angel Gabriel and Mary. And Gabriel is the angel, the messenger of God that's been sent to Mary to deliver the message that there will be born unto her a child whose name shall be Jesus, and he's going to be the Son of God. And he's there's a lot said here. He's going to be the fulfillment of prophecy. He's the son of David, all these things he talks about. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but suffice it to say, Gabriel is the messenger. He's the one delivering the message. And I tell you, whenever God has a message for man, he always has a messenger. Amen. And God has a messenger. He has a man that he will give, or in this case, an angel. God will make sure the message gets through. Amen. And that's what Mary found out, was that God, when he had something to say, he sent a messenger. He made sure she knew what he wanted to do. And the message was that there was going to be a man come, and there was going to be a child placed into her virgin womb. And he says several things about this man and about this person, and we know him to be the person of Christ. And so what I want to talk about, what I want to just kind of bring out, is just a few things out of these last two verses, verses 32 and verse 33, regarding what Gabriel said about the person of Christ, because he makes some very true statements about Jesus and some very deep doctrinal truths and things that ought to be known about him. Now, the first thing he says about him is that he is great, or he shall be great. And so that's the first thing we learn about the person of Christ, just from this simple statement from Gabriel, is that he shall be great. And he certainly is great, is he not? He was born And there was greatness in his birth, greatness in his life, greatness in his death. There will be greatness in his return. There will be greatness in his kingdom when he sets it up. There will be greatness in him for eternity. Amen. Christ is great. And what Gabriel said about him certainly became true. He said he shall be great, and he has been great and still is great. Amen. I mean, you go on as you read the rest of the book of Luke, and you read regarding the perfect man. That's Luke's vision or perspective of Christ, the perfection of his humanity. And you read about the miracles, and you read about his spotless, sinless nature, and you read about his character. Boy, he certainly was a great man. Amen? And Christ is great. Indeed, there is none greater than Jesus Christ. In fact, we ascribe greatness. If you think about that word, we will ascribe greatness to things that a lot of times are not so great at all. If you think about it, we'll use that word. And we often, people would describe some athlete or a politician or an actor or a businessman. They'll call them great. Boy, they're a great person or doing great things. When the reality is, in comparison to what Christ has done, all these things or all other things are nothing. It's really a disgrace to the word great to call many of the things great that we say are great. Amen? Especially when we compare them to Christ and His greatness. He is great. And in light of all His greatness, His greatest work was on Calvary. His greatest work that He ever fulfilled and ever completed and ever will have completed was whenever He carried an old rugged cross up Golgotha's hill and allowed Himself to be placed on that cross and hang between heaven and hell to pay the sin debt for you and for me. And so now through Him, eternity can be changed. And for humanity, nothing is greater than that. I quoted this verse last night at the jail, and I quoted it here. Jesus Himself said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Because the greatest thing that could ever happen to a human being is for his eternity to be changed, to be made a new creature in Christ, to pass from death unto life, from going from being dead in trespasses and sins to life through Christ. And through Christ is how we have that opportunity. It's in through His greatest work, which was on Calvary. Christ is great. Amen. Number two, we find in this statement that Christ, not only is He great, but Christ is God. Jesus was and is God. Look at what He says in verse 32 again. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." He is the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. This term here, this phrase, declares Christ is God. It proclaims His deity. Gabriel, the archangel, is going beforehand to let Mary know, give her some insight about this child that she's going to carry and give birth to, the child who she will be the mother. She will raise and nurture and bring up this child. He's letting him know, this is going to be a great man. Wouldn't you as a parent, wouldn't you as a mother like to know that on the front end, that your child is going to be great? Amen? And wouldn't it be great to know that he's going to be all the Son of the Highest? He's not just going to be great, Mary, but he's going to be God, Mary. You're going to give birth to God. God, the Son of the Highest, is going to grow in your womb, and you will give birth and you will raise this child. Because that is what this term, this phrase does. It declares the deity of Christ, that He was and is God. See, He was God's Son, come into the world in the likeness of flesh to dwell with us. The Bible says that His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God. God with us. God with us. He walked and talked with us and moved among us. I believe it was John talked about how, we have handled, we have touched with our hands, we've seen with our eyes, we've handled Him. He was God with humans. God on earth. God with humanity. And He did it to be our substitute at Calvary. Christ was a very special man. But He wasn't just a special man, He was very man. Amen? He was a very special man, but He was very man. He was in all points tempted, such as we are. We have not an high priest that is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities. There's never anything you've ever been through that Jesus hasn't felt it. Listen, there's never any loss or any hurt, any cut too deep that Jesus hasn't felt it. Amen? I tell you, you think about Judas. You know, a lot of times we talk about Judas. When we think about Judas, the Bible says he was a devil from the beginning. Jesus said that about him. And so before Judas ever did anything that he did, before the disciples ever knew anything about him, before anyone else ever knew anything about him, Jesus knew. Jesus knew who he was and what he was. He knew what he would be and what he would do. Jesus knew it all, yet he still washed his feet and he still called him friend. He still called him friend. Knowing who he was and what he was, knowing what he would do, Jesus still did that. And so I just said that to say this, don't think for a second it didn't hurt whenever Judas betrayed him. Don't think it for a second that it didn't hurt whenever all of his disciples deserted him. Listen, no one's been more lonely than Jesus. No one has suffered more loss than Jesus. Listen, no one's been done without more than Jesus. He had no place to lay his head. Listen, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows where we are. I'm just simply saying that he was a very special man and he was very man. Amen? But as much as he was man, he was that much God too. Amen? He wasn't half of both. He was 100% of both. Amen? He was all man and all God, and he was a very special man. He was very man, but he was very God too. Amen. Jesus is God Almighty. He is the great I Am, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. He is all the things he ever claimed to be. He is God. He is deity, may be denied and may not be believed, but it will not be changed. Any God denier, God hater, one day will have to lower his knee to the dirt and his tongue will have to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Because he is Lord and he will be Lord. And just because someone doesn't believe it and rejects it will not get him off the throne and will not change his deity and will not change the fact that he is God. Amen. You cannot deny that the Bible teaches it. You cannot deny that he claimed it. It is true. Now, I just want to take a second and say that the fact that modern versions of the Scripture deny and tear down the deity of Christ, that's more than enough reason to throw every one of them in the trash. Amen? Anything that will attack the deity of Christ, the fact that He is the spotless, sinless Son of God, the fact that He is God, is more than enough reason to stay as far away from it as you can. I'll tell you what it is. It is Antichrist. Anything or anyone that would deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that He is God, is Antichrist. It is demonic. It is satanically charged. That's the only thing. Listen, simple confusion wouldn't do that. Listen, that is demonically charged for a Bible or a person to deny the deity of Christ, making him a mere mortal man. He is God. Amen? And so, according to Gabriel, coming to Mary, he lets her know that Christ is to be great. He lets her know that Christ is God. But then, last of all, we find that Christ is going to be a governor. In the verse, he says, He shall be great, He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. And He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. Boy, this is some great news that Mary is hearing about her child. And she doesn't even understand all that he's talking about right now. She goes on to question, even in the next verse, she goes on to question, how is this going to happen, seeing I've never known a man. All this. She doesn't understand it, and it's all going to have to be explained to her. But no doubt this is some great news, because listen, as parents, we never know how our children are going to turn out. Amen. I mean, we pray and we do our best and we try to keep them under the preached word of God, and, you know, we try to protect them and shield them from the world and you know, hedge them about and not allow them to just be exposed to all the wickedness and all those things. But at the end of the day, I mean, they're going to have to choose to love God themselves. They're going to have to choose to receive Jesus themselves. They're going to have to choose to serve Him and embrace Him. Amen? That's what's going to have to happen. But Mary's being told on the front end, your child's going to be great. And your child is going to be God. Amen? And then he says, your child is going to be a governor. What more could a mother ask for out of a child? That your child, this child that you are going to give birth to, the person of Christ, he's going to take the throne of his father David. He's going to be a great governor and a great ruler and a great leader, a great king. And his kingdom will never have an end to it. You know, that's one of the worst things about great kings and kingdoms is that they always come to an end. You think about all the greatest kingdoms that there's ever been. You think about Alexander the Great. Conquered the whole known world of his time and of his day. And legend has it, so to speak, that when he conquered the whole known world, he sat down and cried because there were no lands left to conquer. You think about, you know, the Caesars of Rome and the vast Roman Empire. You think about, I mean, you think about all, I mean, all the great conquerors and leaders and the Genghis Khans. And, I mean, all these leaders and kings. But one thing, there's one common denominator to them all. They've all failed. They've all come to an end. You know, that's the reality of everything built by human hands. It doesn't matter how great a man is, how great somebody is. If it's built by human hands and through the power of the flesh, it eventually will fall. But because Jesus was just not a simple man and just an ordinary man, because He was more than that, because He is God, the kingdom that He built and everything that He builds and everything that He touches, there will be no end to it. Amen. And Gabriel is letting her know that God will be born of her and He will raise up a kingdom and sit on the throne. And of that kingdom, there will be no end to it. There will be no enemies to come and overthrow. There will be no loss. This is a reference to the Davidic covenant that God made with David. And God made that covenant with David because David loved God, because David did the will of God and obeyed God. God promised that a ruler would come of his seed. Down the road of David's life, or not David's life, but down the road of David's family, through his seed, through his heritage. Listen, this ruler would come, and that ruler would rule over Israel. And God told David he'd rule over Israel forever. Forever. And the fulfillment of that covenant promise is in a man by the name of Jesus. And Gabriel's letting her know right here that this child you're going to give birth to is a fulfillment of that prophecy that was made all those years ago. See, Mary was a chaste woman and a virtuous woman. No doubt she knew the Scriptures. No doubt she loved God and served God. And she knew what the Bible said, and she'd heard it preached, and she'd been in the temple, and she'd heard it taught, and she'd read it herself. She knew about the Davidic covenant. She knew what God promised David. And right here, Gabriel's letting her know and refreshing her memory and taking her back to let her know, listen, all that you've heard all these years, what you were raised up believing, what you were raised up hearing preached, He has come, He is coming, and you're going to be His mother, Mary. That fulfillment of that prophecy is coming now, and it's coming in the person of Christ. If you remember, Herod inquired of the scribes about the place of Christ's birth. And the scribes responded and told him that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. We find their response in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 6. They said, "For out of thee," talking about Bethlehem, "shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel." And of course, their response there was referencing back to the Old Testament prophecy. What they knew of what would come of this child. Of course, Herod tried to head it off. He was afraid, and you know, all Israel was concerned, and he was worried about this ruler raising up and taking his throne. That's when he had all the children 2 years old and under killed and all those things. But the point is that the prophecy came through Christ, and where He rules, there will always be peace. Amen? because He is the Prince of Peace. Listen, you best believe that world peace is coming. Now, it's not coming the way the world thinks it's coming. And as a matter of fact, world peace is already here. Amen? In the lives of some. Listen, where He rules, there's always peace. See, nationally speaking, where Christ is the ruler, there's peace. Amen? Listen, America had many, many years of peace and has been blessed by God. Why? Because He has been the God of America. Amen? And as America departs from God, so parts the peace. Amen? So departs the peace. Listen, so in every nation where God reigns, where Jesus is the Lord, where Jesus is the God, there is going to be peace. And I'll tell you why. Because He is the Prince of Peace. And not just every nation where He reigns, but in every life that He reigns, there is peace. Amen? That's what the world's looking for, isn't it? That's what lost people are looking for. People are looking for real peace. Something to really satisfy their hungry soul, and they're missing something. And the something they're missing is a man named Jesus. They're missing the man Jesus. And so peace is in every nation. Peace is in every individual heart. Where Christ is God, where He is the Lord and He is the ruler. You know, peace there's peace in every church where Christ is the ruler, and Christ isn't the ruler in every church. There's peace in every home where Christ is the ruler. He is the Prince of Peace. And the government's going to be on His shoulders, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. Aren't you thankful for the person of Christ? And again, that's what this season is all about. That's what this season. It's amazing to me whenever I just think about things like this. And I think about all the years. And I know there's Catholicism and all that stuff mixed in with it. But, we celebrate the birth of Christ. And it's amazing to me that anyone would deny the fact that there is a God, deny the fact that Jesus is God. After over 2,000 years, every year, the whole world still recognizes the birth of Jesus Christ. Even God haters and unbelievers. And I know they've made it about Santa, and I know it's all about Jesus in the manger, and they're okay with baby Jesus. I understand all that. But just think about the fact that over 2,000 years have gone by, and even God haters and unbelievers will still acknowledge the man Christ Jesus, that He came and He was born, and He was born and He was put in a manger, and He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. They all know the story. Amen. Even the unbelievers, they know the story because of the person that Christ was and is. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the person of Christ. And He's certainly been great in my life. Every good thing that I have, every good thing that there is about me, what little there is, it's all because of Him. Amen. And thank God that He is God. That He wasn't just a good teacher, and He's not just a prophet, and He's not just a mortal man. Because of a person like that, and as of a kingdom like that, there would be an end to. But the things He does in our lives are eternal. And thank God that He is a governor. Amen. Aren't you glad that you have the person of Christ to govern your life? I mean, thank the Lord. I mean, I know that promise and that covenant was all about His literal physical kingdom. But listen, there's spiritual ramifications of that too. That He is the governor of everyone that will allow Him to sit on the throne of their heart. And listen, I don't know about you, but I'd much rather have Him governing my life than me governing my life. Because it's Him that's got me on the right direction. Him that's got me going down the right road. Him that's got me going the right way. And that's because of the person that Christ is. Aren't you thankful for that? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the person of Christ. Thank You, Lord, for all of us that are saved. Lord, those of us that You've saved by Your grace. And Lord, that You're ruling our lives, Lord. And I thank You for what You've done and, Lord, how You've done it. And Lord, we just thank You for who You are. And Father, I pray that You'd help us to ever have our attention on You in these days. Lord, we want to enjoy this time of year. Lord, the holiday season is a wonderful time, and Lord, we love it. We thank You for it. But Lord, we don't ever want to get caught up in, Lord, the worldly things. Lord, the things that aren't sin in and of themselves, but they become sin when we get our attention off of You. Because, Lord, it's truly all about You. And we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what a blessing you've been in our lives. Thank you, Lord, we're in church tonight. Thank you, Lord, that if you tarry, and if it's your will, we'll be in church this Sunday, worshiping you, singing praises, thinking about you, and Lord, reminiscing, Lord, about you and your birth, and Lord, the focus and the attention will all be on Christ. And I pray that you'd help us. And we want to say we love you, and we thank you once again for what you've done. Thank you for who you are. And Lord, we ask you to continue to bless us and help us. And help us, Lord, to love you like we should. Lord, you are worthy of our love and our adoration. You're worthy of our service. You are worthy. Lord, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we praise you, and we worship you, we glorify you for who you are. Bless us now as we go our separate ways. We close the service. We'll thank you for what you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.